I know I've said this many times in the past that it's going to be a shorter shiur than usual, but I mean it every time. But this time, the MS mean it, and it's probably going to be significantly shorter. I have to be somewhere a little bit earlier, so I'm already late, but you know, they know that, so that's okay. All right, so Parshas Vayigash is really, as we know, is a culmination of a number of parshias that we've had until now. Right, it's the whole mice with Yosef and Yehuda, Chiris Yosef, all leading to Yosef Tzadik saying Ani Yosef, Oida Vichai, and zooming out, this was all one long mahalach to get Yaakov and all Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim, which zooming further out is to get us to Har Sinai. Zooming further out is to get us to Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu takes us out of Mitzrayim. Chazal say, based on Psukim, the first Redeemer is also the last Redeemer. So ultimately, what's really been going on for the past few parshias has really been the seeds being planted for Gula Shlema. That's really what it is. The first redemption out of Mitzrayim is the beginning of the ultimate redemption. So let's learn a little bit about just, I guess, one aspect, one nakuda, about how the seeds of Gula have been planted. You know, the way the Rabbanu Shlomim works redemption is that it's specifically, it's specifically in those, like, sort of those areas that seem to be the most anti-redemption. That's exactly where redemption is being planted. So let's think about it in the following terms. You know, when you go back to Parshas Vayeshev, when the whole story of the selling of Yosef Tzadik begins, so the pasuk says like this. As we know, V'yovi Yosef Estibasim Ralaviyam, Yosef Tzadik brings Lashon Hara there to Yaakov Avinu and so on. So it says in pasuk, and really this following pasuk is really where it all begins to fall apart. V'yorechav ki Yosef Av Avim Ekol Echav, that the Shvatim saw that Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more than any of the other brothers. The Yisnu Yosef, they hated him. V'liyochlu Daber L'Shalom, and they couldn't speak anything. They couldn't speak peacefully to him. V'liyochlu Daber L'Shalom. So really, that's the beginning of all the trouble. That's the beginning of all the trouble. And from there comes Mechiras Yosef, v'chulu v'chulu. But, again, as I said, if Mechiras Yosef really is the beginning of Klal Yisrael into Mitzrayim, which is the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the beginning of Gula Shlema, that means that this Pasuk, although when we zoom in, it seems to be the beginning of all the trouble, but when we zoom all the way out, it's the beginning of all the good things. It's the beginning of redemption itself. So where do we find redemption over here? What's the spark? There's got to be... There must be a spark in this pasuk, some nitzitz of holiness, from which, if you flame, fan that spark, mamish, the fire of Mashiach comes out of it. So what's the spark in this pasuk? So the truth is like this. The pasuk is, v'yochlu dabu l'sham. They couldn't speak positively to him. They couldn't speak words of whatever it is, that the negative feeling they had towards him, they articulated it. They had to express it. So Rashi says like this. What does it mean? They couldn't speak words of peace. So Rashi says as follows. Again, some pasuk dalet. Rashi says, "Mitoich genusam." Even Rashi points out that even this negative pasuk has a positive to it. "Mitoich genusam," from the pasuk which seems to be saying the negative about the shvatim, that they couldn't speak nice words to Yosef. Lamad nushvacham. We do learn the greatness. That what? They couldn't be two-faced. They couldn't allow themselves to feel one thing in their heart and say something different. They had to be honest. If they feel negative in their heart, that's how they're going to talk. So even though the whole thing is a mistake, they should have loved Yosef Tzadik, but there's a positive there. So in this nekuda of not being achas bepev, achas b'lev, achas bepev, so this is where the nitzitz of Kedusha is. This is where the spark of Mashiach is really being planted. Again, even in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, Rashi comments on the fact that this is a pasuk that's negative about the Shvatim, but there's some positive over here also. So zooming out, this is the nekuda of positivity from which Mamash Gula comes. So how so? So let's investigate. We'll come about this in a particular way. in later on in Parshas in Parshas Kedoshim, right? Later on. So there's one of the mitzvahs in Torah, one of the 613, is Loisisna Sechicha Bilvavecha. Not to hate your brother in your heart. It's a mitzvah say. There's a mitzvah say, not taking the kumma and so on, not bearing a grudge. So what does it mean, not to hate your friend in your heart? What does it mean in your heart? So the Gemara says in Erechin, we're in Erechin, it's into another place in Shas as well. This is at least how most Rishonim interpret the Gemara. The Gemara is like almost explicit, but it's, you know, except for like the basics of like believing in Hashem and Torah Misinai, everything's machlokes, so nothing's so super clear. But it's almost pretty clear that the Gemara says as follows: the sisan chicha b'levavecha means that there's a special prohibition of not hating one yid, hating another yid in their heart. In other words, holding it in. But if a person were, if Reuven hates Shimon, right? I mean, Shimon's a good guy, but Reuven just hates Shimon, whatever it is. But he expresses it. He doesn't hold it in. It's not bilvavecha. He says it like it is. He's not in violation of leisisna zichicha bilvavecha. He's in violation of, he's not being mekayem v'hasar achimoicha, right? If he does it in a way of vengeance and bearing a grudge, it's leisikim v'leisitar. But as far as leisisna zichicha bilvavecha, he's fulfilling that love. Meaning he's avoiding, he's being mekayem leisase, the mitzvah of leisase, by, you know, getting the venom out, by getting it off his chest. There's a special prohibition of holding the problem in the heart. Now, the halacha is, maybe if we have time, you'll have time, we'll see if I have time, but we'll talk about this nekuda of whether, this following nekuda, but as far as the brothers are concerned, when they saw Yosef HaTzadik, again, we're not going into this so much right now, but it's like I mentioned on Shabbos once, it's a pella, but the brothers saw Yosef HaTzadik as mamish, like, come on, evil incarnate. You know, Avram has a Yishmael, Yitzchak has an Esav, and Yaakov has a Yosef. They saw him mamish as the embodiment of everything that's wrong. So certainly as far as the brothers are concerned and the way they were thinking, they were not looking at Yosef HaTzadik as someone where there's a mitzvah v'hatar achimoicha and there's a violation of leisisna zichicha bilvavecha. They weren't thinking in those terms. Adrava, they thought he was chayiv misa, they thought he was mamish. Again, it's a pella how they saw it. That's certainly true. But it turns out that they were wrong. Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik, which means that he certainly is someone that there would be, that the v'hatar achimoicha would apply to, and leisikim leisita would apply to, and leisisna zichicha bilvavecha would apply to. So therefore, it comes out that the brothers were attacked in violation of the Haftarah Chumaycha. They're in violation, I don't know. I mean, I guess selling someone, there's other Isurim, but Layochlu Dabru Shalom. They couldn't speak good words to him. Whatever it is, the animosity, the negativity they felt in their heart, they expressed it bepet. It means that the nitzot, the spark, the positivity in this first Pasuk, which is the beginning of the breakdown of the Shvatim, but the positivity, the nitzitz of Kedusha in this Pasuk, from which comes ultimately Gula Shleima, is the fact that the brothers were mimakayim the mitzvah of Leisisna Zichicha Bilvavecha. Because despite the fact that they, you know, you're not supposed to hate Yosef HaTzadik, he's a tzadik, and v'chulu v'chulu. But Lemaisa, they did feel hatred towards Yosef, again, and they're madrega for whatever the reason, but they didn't hold it in. They articulated it, and by articulating it, it means they're avoiding the leisase of leisisna zichicha bilvavecha. And so this mitzvah of leisisna zichicha bilvavecha is the spark from which gula comes. So what's the pnimius of this mitzvah? So when we investigate the inyan of this prohibition, of this isra of leisisna zichicha bilvavecha, Bez Hashem will be able to chab, like, what's the nekuda? What's the nekuda? Why does this become sort of the beginning of mamish gula itself? And specifically in this context of the brothers with Yosef, okay. So it's like this. There's a number of problems. Like I mentioned, the Gemara says in Erechin, this idea that leisisna zichicha bilvavecha means that you're not supposed to hate another yid, but if a person does, not to hold it, not to keep it in, to say it out loud. So first of all, just before I mention any questions, the basic reason for that, right? So the Moshe, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs writes like this, the Sefer HaChinuch, those are Shonim that talk about the reasons for Mitzvahs. The way they explain it is very simply, which is because when you hold something inside, it festers, it builds, it usually becomes bigger than it has to be. So just practically speaking, you know, it's not good to hate another Yid, Chas V'Shalom, obviously. But minimal damage, if you say it out loud, maybe it'll actually lead to reconciliation. You know, you'll get off your chest. Maybe hearing yourself will make you realize that you're the crazy one. You know, all sorts of scenarios. But keeping it in is not good. It's not good for anybody. You know, the Gemara says that, that when a person eats a meal, they shouldn't eat all the way till they're full, right? There's a number of reasons for that, but what the Gemara says one of the reasons is because if a person eats till they're full and then they get angry about somebody, there's nowhere for the anger to go. You know, it's not healthy. So you want to have some room for But l'sistens l'chivavecha means you don't want to keep it in too much. You know, you get indigestion. You know, you want to get it out anyway. So there's a number of problems with this. Not problems with the mitzvah, but there's kashas that come from it. First of all, one technical one. When it comes to counting the counting of the 613, right? So we know Chazal saying the Gemara Makis, there are 613 mitzvahs. But how do you count them? There's no Gemara that says these are the 613. So there's all different ways of counting them. The cheshbon that we're familiar with probably mostly is the Rambam, Sefer Chinuch. There's 248 asay and 365 negative. But there's all different rules and principles. So, for example, the opinion of the Rambam is, very often you'll have this. You'll have one idea, which is just a mitzvah say, and then a lois say, don't not do the mitzvah, you know? So whenever that happens, the Rambam's opinion is to count both. You'll count the say, and you count the lois say too. So that's the opinion of the Rambam, many Rishonim. But there are Rishonim and Goyanim that hold not like that. That if you have such a situation of an assay and a lois assay, both basically about the same thing, you count only one. Which one do you count? The one that's more inclusive, the bigger one, the one that contains the other one. I'll give you an example. So in this case, so you have a lois assay, and you have an assay. So the Rambam counts both. They're both basically not hating a yid, fakert, to love a yid. Okay, one's a positive, one's a negative. So the Rambam counts both. But let's say, for example, Rav Sajigoyin, the Smak, many Rishonim, their principle is not like that. Their principle is when you have an essay and a lois essay, both about the same thing, count one, just count the one that's more inclusive. So in this situation, you have an essay, you have a lois essay, not to hate another yid in your heart. But if you express it verbally, you're not in violation of the law. If you express your hatred verbally, you're definitely not being Mekayim v'havta rachamaycha. So which one is more inclusive? V'yahavta rachamaycha. I mean, once you know v'yahavta rachamaycha, that mitzvah v'yahavta rachamaycha tells you that you're not allowed to hate another yid in your heart also, right? And that fakert, it tells you you're not allowed to hate a yid in the open, out in the open, you know, upstairs, downstairs, no matter what, right? L'sisn z'chivuva is very limited. It's only not hating another yid in your heart. The question that the Achronim deal with is that even those Rishonim, that usually when you're dealing with such a scenario, would only count one mitzvah, and the one that's more all-inclusive, in this situation they count both. They'll count v'yahavta rachamaycha, that covers basically everything, but they'll also count l'sisn z'chivuva v'vecha, which is a specific scenario of not holding hatred to another yid inside your heart, even though that scenario is pretty much covered by v'yahavta rachamaycha too. They'll still count it. The question is why. Again, the Rambam, he does that all the time anyway. And anytime it's an essay and a lois essay, he'll count both. But if you don't go like that, and you only count the one that's all-inclusive, then why in this case would you count lois and sechicha b'vevecha? Once you're ready, you got everything you need to know. That's a kasha. Okay. There's ways halachically to deal with the kasha, but we'll go with a little bit more of a pimis to answer that. That's kasha one. There's another problem. The problem is, again, this idea. There's an isser of holding hatred inside. You have to say it out loud. It means that if your person, again, Reuven hates Shimon, Loleinu, but he says it, you know, he doesn't just puts on a smile, you know, Shimon knows Reuven doesn't like him, then there's no lesisna. He's not violating that. He's not being Mekayim v'azor ha'chamaycha. But it's not lesisna. That's the Gemara in Erechin. That's what we pass. What's the problem? The problem is the Gemara Nedarim. That we know that when it comes to Nedarim, if a person makes a vow, there's something that's called Hataras Nedarim, right? A person takes a vow, you know, this apple is usher to me. I'm not going to eat any oranges, whatever, you know. So you could be Matar Neder, Matar Shvu. You could go to a Chacham, and the Chacham will ask, well, if you knew this XYZ, you know, would you have made the Neder? No, I wouldn't. If I realized the ramifications of what I was doing, I wouldn't have said it. Okay, so the Chacham is Iker the Neder, right? That's the Hataras Neder. So the Gemara says an example. It's a Mishnah in the Dharm. The Gemara says it's a machlokes in the Mishnah whether this is a legitimate enough basis to get rid of a neder. But this is what the Mishnah is dealing with. Let's say a person makes the following neder. I can't stand Shimon's face. I make a neder. I'm not going to have any benefit from Shimon. I can't stand him. I don't want any benefit. Or I make a neder. I'm forbidding all of my property to have any benefit to Shimon. So, but then he wants to undo the nether. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, maybe the Chacham can use the following trick. He says to Reuven, if you knew that by making such a nether, you're in violation of Leisisnes Zechicha Bel Vavecha, would you have made such a nether? Well, I don't like Shimon, but I didn't think I was going to be in violation of the Torah, so I wouldn't have done it, so the Chacham could be Iker the nether. Okay. The Mishnah discusses whether that's good or not, because maybe the question is, maybe the person that makes the neder wouldn't want to admit in front of the Rav that, you know, I don't mind being over the lav. You know what I mean? So maybe it's not a good enough way, because he might just go with the party line that he does not want to violate a lav, even though he really doesn't mind it. But theoretically, what is the Mishnah saying? That under such a scenario, Reuven says, I can't stand Shimon's guts, I'm making a neder, I'm not having any hanah from Shimon, or I'm making a neder, Shimon is not having hanah from me. The Mishnah is under the assumption that that's a violation of Leisisnes Zechicha Bel Vavecha. I understand. Leisisnes Zechicha Bel Vavecha? What's Bel Vavecha? Everyone knows, Reuven can't stand Shimon now. What the Mishnah should have said is, the Chacham can say, Reuven, if you knew that by doing so, you're in violation of Yehavdar Ach Kamoicha, would you have done it? That's something else. But the Mishnah doesn't give that as an example. It could be just being Mevatel and Asay, Reuven, you know, doesn't mind being Mevatel and Asay. The Mishnah says, Leisisnes Zechicha Bel Vavecha. That's not Leisisnes Zechicha Bel Vavecha. That's not keeping it in. That's saying it out. There's another kasha. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says that the lach of a Saita, if a husband is concerned with his wife, maybe something's going on. So there's such a thing as Kinoy and Stira. Right, kinoy is that the person officially warns his wife, more than warns. Kinoy means that he has like a zealousy, and he says to his wife that you're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to be in any private quarters with Yankel. You know, I'm concerned with you and Yankel. You're not allowed to have any be in the same place as Yankel. If she secludes herself with Yankel, nothing necessarily happens. But if she does that. So even though usually, you know, it's also yichud, but now in this case, after a warning or a kinoy from the husband, now she's usher to her husband. She's not usher until witnesses can prove otherwise. That's what a saita is. That's what a saita is. So the Gemara says in saita, daf gimel mebeis, it's a machlokes in the Gemara whether this is something that a husband should do, should not do. In the Gemara in saita and daf gimel, the Gemara says that this is a scenario. One of the things that the Gemara is dealing with, whether or not this is a good idea or a bad idea, one of the issues is leisisnes zechicha bel vavecha. Your wife is also a yid, right? So there's a mitzvah to love every yid. So by him doing kinoy, obviously it means that he's not happy. You know, he's not happy. So. He's in violation of hating another yid. Maybe it's his wife, Yankel, whoever it is. So again, ask the Achrayin, one second. It's not b'vavecha. It's obvious. He's clearly, everyone knows that he has an issue now with Yankel and his wife. You want to tell me again, the issue is v'hafza rachach moicha. You want to tell me other things, okay, but l'sisn z'chi b'vavecha. Okay. So it's like this. The Rambam... The Rambam talks about this mitzvah of leisisnes zechicha bel vavecha and v'hafzar chamecha, all these in Yanim. He talks about it in Hilchos Deis. It's the last parak in Hilchos Deis. Now, what's interesting is always with the Rambam, you have to always bear in mind the sort of the context of where the Rambam is coming from? What's the larger story? So the Rambam talks about these halachas in the last parak, but the last parak is like this. Sorry, not the second last parak. Parak Vav. The Rambam starts off the parak discussing a natural phenomenon, a natural setting that a human being has. Says the Rambam, Derech Briyasa Shel Adam, the nature of a person is Lias Nimshach B'Deyaisav U'B'Maisav Achareya V'Chaver. Says the Rambam, there's a natural setting to a person that a person is naturally drawn to be connected and to be influenced from people around you. That's just the natural setting of a person, that we're not just, you know, robots within ourselves. We learn and we connect. There's a natural setting like that. And therefore, says the Rambam, because of that, a person should be careful to associate with good people, not associate with negative people, so, because that's the natural setting. In this context, says the Rambam, Kol Asani Echad Mishra B'Liboy, someone that hates another Yid, that's the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam first says this idea that a person is naturally drawn to the people that you live with and you're associated with, therefore connect yourself to tzaddikim. And then the Rambam continues on, okay, now I talked about connecting to tzaddikim, now there's also the idea of loving every Yid and not hating every Yid in the heart. Like, that's the context the Rambam is talking about. Now, what's interesting is, first of all, it's just like an interesting way of putting these mitzvahs in that context of this sort of, after introducing us to this like natural setting that a person has to be connected to everyone around them. And now in that context, regarding people that you're living amongst, the Hazar Achamaycha, Lezizir, like, why, it could be a standalone halacha of Hazar Achamaycha, you know, why does he have to put it in this context? So it's like this. It says V'yahavta l'rech kamoicha. Yeah, that we know. The Rishon already comment. Why does it say in the language of the pasuk? There's a subtle change between these pasukim. V'yahavta l'rech kamoicha. Loisisna es achicha bilvavecha. It could have said V'yahavta es reyach kamoicha. Or it could have said, Leisisna liriacha, Leisisna leachicha bilvavecha. Why by Vihafta it says Vihafta liriacha kamoicha? And it says Leisisna esachicha bilvavecha. This is the dig. So the moral in Sefer Nesivus Olam has a huge chiddush, and it really gets to the kishkas of what the nature of Leisisna esachicha bilvavecha is. I guess I'll explain it. I guess maybe in the language of Chassidus. Another diak is interesting. Again, the Gemara I mentioned before in Erechin is based on this. It says Leisisna Sechicha Bilvavecha, in your heart. So when we talk about the heart, what does the heart mean? So in Chassidus, we find that there's really two things. I mean, when a person says the heart, or Chazal, Tanakh use the word heart, it's usually like your emotions. It's your emotions, you know. But the truth is, in Chassidus, we find that that's true. The heart is a place in the body that represents emotions. But there's also another aspect of the heart. There's something that's called Pnimius Halev. Pnimius Halev means, I'll give an example. Like in Chassidus, the way it's explained is like this. You know, there's two layers to the heart. There's Chitzonius Halev and Pnimius Halev. Chitzonius Halev means emotions that are generated by your thinking, by your thoughts, right? So a person thinks about something very strongly, you know, then you become emotionally attached to it, or you become emotionally charged by it, right? A person thinks about something that is a stressful thing, then you feel stress, right? You think about something that is more relaxing, then you feel more relaxed. Those emotions of stress or relaxation, that's chitzaynis alev, because it's being generated by the mind. So when you stop thinking about it, you know, give yourself some time, then the emotion will settle down. But then there's something that's called pnimis alev. Pnimis alev is much, much deeper. Pnimis Alev, it's almost hard to say, to even call it emotions. It's much deeper than emotions. It's the shayrish, it's the nekuda, it's almost your subconscious. It gets to the very kishkas of who you are. Very often, the pnimis halev of who a person is, and that aspect is more often than not, it is what it is. Whatever setting it is, you know, you sort of have it, whatever your setting is in terms of your shayrish, that's made. What can you do? You can maybe try to unearth it, uncover it, bring it out a little bit. But who a person is, that Sharash Anelam, is pretty much set. So the Maral says a Chiddush like this. I'm just trying to find it. The Maral says that there's a basic difference between the mitzvah v'haftarach kamaycha and the mitzvah v'assistan sechicha v'vavacha. Says the Maral, when it comes to v'haftarach kamaycha, the mitzvah v'yad rechem aicha is speaking to more v'chitzonistic emotions. It's much more, it's dealing with the side of the person that's tangible almost. So for example, I'll give an example of how the Rambam puts it. The Rambam says like this, mitzvah kol adam le'ayv es kol echad v'echad mi'yishrabu kigufay. There's a mitzvah in every yid to love everyone like yourself, shenemar v'yad rechem aicha. Lefichach, says the Rambam, therefore, you have to say good things about another yid. Or to be careful about another yid's money. What does Ram have to give these examples for? It's endless. I don't know. Like Hillel said to the ger, whatever you didn't want to do to yourself, don't do to someone else. I don't know. And these are the Ram. And after saying these examples, these are the only examples. What's Ram doing? Gufa, yeah. So the answer is, what Ram is saying is that by giving these examples, he's trying to give a context to what the nature of the mitzvah is. That we're, v'yahavzarach, it's liriyach kamaycha. It's not esriyach. V'yahavta liriyach kamaycha means, who's Hashem talking to? I'm talking to the chitzayinus of who you are, and I'm telling you to love that the part, whoever I'm talking to, that's the part that's relating to the other guy. So I'm talking to the chitzaynis of Reuven. I'm saying, chitzaynis of Reuven, appreciate Shimon, love Shimon. Love Shimon like you love yourself. Okay, what does that mean? So I'm talking to the chitzaynis of Reuven. So that means practical. It means on a tangible, emotional level. It means say good things about him. Be careful with his money. Be careful with his dignity. And you know, I'm like that. That's v'haft l'racha kamaycha. Whereas Lysisna es achicha bilvavecha says the Maral, that's something else altogether. Lysisna es achicha bilvavecha is talking to pnimius halev, the very essence and the nekuda of who the person is. Now, the very essence and the nekuda of a person is not something that you even have to work on in terms of bringing Avas Yisrael there. When the very essence of the Nekudas Halev, says the Maral, is a place in which every yid is interconnected. Like in the language of Chassidus, that Nekuda that's called Yechida, that's called the singular, you know, the Neshama has many parts, the deepest part that's called Yechida Sheben Nefesh, the singularity of the soul. Every single yid has Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chayin, Yechida. So I've mentioned this many times. In terms of the Nefesh, so Reuven's nefesh is Reuven's nefesh. Shimon's nefesh is Shimon's nefesh. Finished. There's a ruach to Reuven. There's a ruach to Shimon. There's a neshama to Shimon. To Reuven and a neshama to Shimon. There's a chaya to Reuven and a chaya to Shimon. But the yichid of Reuven is the same as the yichid of Shimon. Inside of Reuven's yichida is Shimon also, and inside of Shimon's yichida is Reuven. That nekuda, that's called the Shar Shanelam. In the Sifri Chassidus, this is also called the Shar Hanun, the 50th gate. See, there's always, Chazal said that Hashem created 50 gates of Bina, right? Memtes, Shar Bina, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. The 50th gate remains concealed. What's the nekuda of the 50th? The 50th gate, Chazal say a language, the Gemara says, Bamatsia, Memtes Panam Lakan. The Tarsh Balpeh is compared to the system where you have 49 opinions one way, 49 opinions in another way. And says the Gemara, so what am I, how do I make sense of all of this? Says the Gemara, but Kulam Nitnu Marai Echad. They're all coming from the same shepherd, Maisha Rabbeinu. In Chassidus, the way that's explained is, yeah, there's such a thing as 49 gates. The 49 gates are the 49, of Nefesh, Ruach, Nesham, and Chaya. Without getting into details of how that becomes 49, that's not the point. But those are the differences between people. But then there's the Sharish Anelam, the Nekuda Pnimis, the Yechidish of Nefesh. Kulam Nidim Rayach, all coming from the same point. And when you that Nekuda doesn't need to be told, love another Yid. What do you mean, love another Yid? Even if Havzor HaChemaycha is already speaking to someone that's a chiddush to. Oh, taka. Without the mitzvah, I wouldn't know. And now you're telling me, oh, so I'm a kabbal omal shemaim, I'm going to love another yid. Why? Because I'm not Reuven. I'm not Levi. I'm not Yisachar. Right? So memela, I have to be told a chiddush via hafter achakamaycha. But that's only true for the chitzainis alev. But when it comes to the pnimius alev, the nekuda pnimius of who the person is, you don't have to be told to love someone else. What's the problem? What you can do is that you can pollute that space. You can pollute it. You could bring hatred and division into that place. You could ruin the natural habitat of the Nekuda Pnimis, of the Shar Shanelam, of the Shar Hanun of who you are. To that, the Pasuk says, Loi sisnes lichicha bil vavecha. Don't bring sin there. Don't bring sin there. And this idea that the Gemara says in Erechin of not keeping sinna inside, not bottling up and expressing it, the deeper meaning of that is, says the Maral, is that by expressing the sinna, you're cleaning, you're pushing it out of that deeper place within you. Like once the sin is kept in, then it might, it might germinate, it might pollute, it might seep into the cracks to get into the Nekuda Pnimis of who you are and discombobulate that place, which its natural setting is to love another Yid, because that's who it is as well. So there is such a possibility of polluting that space with crazy things that's called sinna. So says the pasuk, don't keep that in, because by keeping it in, you're giving it the opportunity to pollute the pnimis of who you are. Don't do that. Make it external, and by saying it out loud, you're actually isolating it from your inner essence and keeping it as an external place. You're certainly, it's still not good. The Havdalah Rachel Meicha says that it's still not a good idea, but at least you've protected that inner core of leisistens lichicha bil vavecha. Based on this maral, then we have an understanding that leisistens lichicha bil vavecha, although technically means don't hate someone on the inside and verbalize it, but it's to a certain degree there's a chiddush in leisistens lichicha bil vavecha, and there's a sort of an obligation coming from leisistens lichicha bil vavecha that you wouldn't otherwise know from v'yavzer rachem lech. I mean, v'havzor achakamaycha is telling you, like the Rambam says, very practical. It's talking to a very, basic and human and chitzayniyistik a part of who you are, and it's obligating that part of who you are in practical things. Say nice things about the Jew. Worry about his honor. Be sensitive to the person's needs. But v'havzor achakamaycha doesn't necessarily, it's not speaking and it's not engaging the part of you that sees yourself with the other Jew as literally one entity. It's v'havzor l'ri achakamaycha. Like the Rambam says, l'fichach, say nice things, be sensitive, and so on. But l'sisnes l'chicha bol vavecha, although it's said in the negative, of don't bottle up the hatred, if there is hatred, then keep it isolated to an external place, protecting your pnimius to maintain that sanctuary of pnimius. But that mitzvah of leisisnes zechicha bol vavecha does introduce us to this idea that the pnimius of a yid is mamish a sanctuary for Avos Yisrael. Literally a sanctuary for Avos Yisrael. Al kedei kach, that nekuda pnimius doesn't have to be told to love another yid, because when it looks in the mirror, it sees all yid. So it doesn't need to be told anything. So I asked the question, for example, according to those Rishonim, that when you have an essay and a lesa say, they only count one, and the more inclusive one. So why over here do they count leisistens lichicha bil vavecha? Just count v'yavzor achamaycha, and you got everything you need. What else do I need to know? The answer is, I do know something from Leisis and Zichich Bovecha that I wouldn't otherwise know from Yehazarach Kamoich. Because who... It's talking to two different parts of the person. It's not like talking to the same person and one is giving, you know, broader instructions than the other. It's talking to two separate types of parts of the person. The chitzonius of who this person is, the part of the person that does not identify themselves literally as Klal Yisrael, that's v'haftarach amoich. But then the part of the person that is literally, its identity is Knesset Yisrael, that's the part of the person that Leisis and Zichich Bovecha is addressing, and the mitzvah of Leisis and Zichich Bovecha is keep that zone pristine. Don't ruin that habitat. You don't have to do anything to make it such a habitat. You're born like that. That's the mitzias, but don't ruin it. What is it? How would you ruin it? Well, by keeping sinna inside, it might have a way of like sort of polluting that part of who you are. Don't do that. Isolate it. Keep it outside. This is why the Rambam talks about Leisis and Zichich Bovecha in the context of Perek Vav and Hilchos Deis, where he's talking about like sort of this natural phenomenon, this natural mode that a person is, which is to be connected with the people around them. Because Leisis and Zichich Bovecha is the deepest aspect of that. It's like, I'm not just influenced by the people around me. I am the people around me. That's Leisis and Zichich Bovecha. So he asked the question. If Leisis and Zichich Bovecha is don't keep the sin inside, but rather express it outwardly, right? And if you express it outwardly, you're not in violation of that. So what's the Pshat and the Gemara Nedarim, right? Remember the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara in Saita? Right? The Gemara says that if a person makes a neder, you know, disallowing Hanoah from Reuven and so on, then he's in violation of Leisis. What is the violation of Leisis? I said it outwardly. The answer is as follows. Rav Tzadik says there's something different about a neder. The Rav Tzadik writes in Rassisi like this, just a couple lines. Inyan ha-neder. The neder is a crazy thing. What's a neder? A neder is, this apple is completely kosher. It's completely kosher. According to the 613, this apple is mutter for me to eat. What's a neder? A neder says, I am creating a new lav, kilu. I'm making a new aveir in the Torah, which is eating this apple. And I'm limiting it to me, to this other person. So says Rav Tzadik like this, Inin ha-neder, the concept of a neder, shenemar bai, kiyafli. You know, for example, a nazir, right? A nazir is also like a type of neder. And the Torah uses the language of yafli, ish kiyafli, linder, neder, nazir, hazel Hashem. It's like a pella, it's a wonder. What's the wonder? Shemu devorim ha-mufloyim v'nelomim. It's mamash a thing. Mikol birya, it's a wondrous thing. Nowhere in Torah does it have any indication at all that this apple has any problem with me. The Torah doesn't say there's no sifkad, there's nothing in Shulchan Aruch, there's no remez, there's nothing in Torah to indicate that there's something, that there's an issue with my nesham and this apple. So how do I know? But yet I'm able to be magala this side that there's something in issue that this apple is not. It's not a shidduch with me. Mechatesi. So he says, how is the person oimid on this? How did you realize this truth? And how do you generate such a truth to create an Isra on the apple? Says Rav Tzadik, umitzara shahar no nanelam. The answer is nedorim come from the deepest kishkas of who a yid is. And the deepest kishkas of who a yid is, It that part of who you are is all of Klal Yisrael. That part of who you are is Moshe Rabbeinu. That part of who you are is the source of Torah itself. It's the part of who you are that speaks to the Rabbanu Shalom face to face. See, Moshe Rabbeinu knows things that no one else does, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu pal davarboy. Moshe Rabbeinu bechol beisin emenu. Rashi, the pasuk says, the Hashem says about Moshe Rabbeinu, I trust him. What does it mean? I trust him. Says Rashi, it means I tell him things that no one else, I can't trust with anyone else, these sensitive information. Only Moshe Rabbeinu knows these things. What's Nedarim? Nedarim is, I know a truth that no one else does, which is that for me, this apple is poison. Spiritual poison. And I was looking at me, what are you talking about? This apple is totally fine. I'm asking, for you it's fine, for me it's poison. Like Shatnez is poison for you, this apple is poison for me. Where are you getting your information from? The answer is, where am I getting it from? It's a side that the Rabbanu Shalom tells me that he doesn't tell you. Whoa, who do you think you are? Wait a minute, Hashem's talking to you, he's not talking to me. The answer is, yeah. Because there's a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu inside of me. What, Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the Sharash Anelam. That's the Nekudah Pnimis. So let's go back. That's what Nedarim is. That's the same thing with Akinui and Stira. You know, Reb Chaim Brisker, it's a sugya. But Reb Chaim proves that the pshat is when a husband does Kinui and Stira, you know, does that to his wife, makes his wife, that creates an Isser, right? So in other words, like, without going into the details, a husband can say Kinui, he can warn his wife from staying away from this person and from certain activities with that person, that even those activities by themselves wouldn't make her husband, wouldn't make her usher to her husband. But the fact that he warned her and he said that, don't, you know, get involved with certain activities with Yankel, even though those activities by themselves would not make you usher to me, but now that I said that, she'll become usher to me if she, you know, if she does those activities. Why? Says Reb Chaim, because it's like a nether. It's that you have the husband has the koyach of creating an iser from his wife to him under these scenarios. So nedarim and saita both have this quality of their. So the question is, how could a husband do that? This experience wouldn't cause a problem of an iser to anyone else, but all of a sudden it's you because you said something. The answer is yeah, because that's a site. I know the secret. The secret is the Rebbeinu that it's to me it's not good. Well, who are you? The answer is my Shabbat. So in other words, both Nedarim and Saita have this quality is that these halachas, the words coming out of the person's mouth of a neder and the words coming out of the husband's mouth of Kinyan and Stira are coming from the Sharash Anelam. They're coming from the Nekuda Pnimis. It's coming from the Nekud of Moshe and within him. That's how the Neder works. That's how the Kinyan Stira works. So that is the violation. So what the Gemara said? The Gemara said that if a person makes a Neder, that I hate Shimon and everything in my property is off limits to Shimon, or I can't stand Yankel if my wife hangs out with Yankel, she's also, these types of things. Says the Gemara, let's list on Sechich B'Vavecha. So you ask the question, what B'Vavecha? I'm expressing it outwardly. The answer is, you're expressing it outwardly. But what are you expressing outwardly? Usually, the reason why is it when you express it outwardly, you're not in violation? Is because the in of means that keep the Sharash and Nelam pure with Avos Yisrael. And when you express it outwardly, you're expunging from your pnimius the hatred, and you're keeping the hatred to a chitzonistic place. But when the words of hatred are expressed with a neder, and they're expressed with kinu and stira, then automatically those words are still coming from your sharash and elm, your nekuda pnimius, because that's how nedarim and kinu and stira work. So you're not you're not helping anything. So when this guy says words of sinas Yisrael in the context of a neder, and in the context of Kinyan and Stira, ain lecha lesisn zechicha b'levavecha more than that. That's the greatest lesisn zechicha b'levavecha. He's not holding it in. He's expressing it outwardly. But his expressing it outwardly is not isolating his kishkas from the hatred. Adrabah, the words that he's saying in the context of a neder and a Kinyan and Stira is an expression of his kishkas. That's how a nedarim work. It's coming from the Shar Janela. So, sahako, what we see from all of this is that when we get to the Nekuda, what is the nature of Lesisn Zechich B'Levecha? The nature of this Isser, Lesisn Zechich B'Levecha, is the Torah acknowledging, not just acknowledging, but the Torah revealing to us the Nekuda Pnimis, the Sharash HaNelam, the Shar HaNun, inside of every Yid, which is the place that literally all of Klal Yisrael resides, which is the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the spark of, like I said, where Nedarim come from, where Kinyan Stira, where the Rabbeinu Shalom speaks to you in a way that's panim al panim, that you are Rabban Shekol Yisrael, in that Nekud HaPnim, is that part of you that's both paradoxically very personal with the Rabbeinu Shalom, but at the same time, deeply aware of every other Yid's personal relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom as well. That's what's so subtle about that Nekuda Pnimis, that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know? Like that Nekuda, it means Pel Padabar Boy, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu has this like personal, deep, intimate knowledge and experience with Elikus, but at no point does Moshe Rabbeinu that never isolates him from anyone else. Like Moshe, Chazal say that that there was a woman in Mitzrayim that gave birth to, you know, everyone, they gave birth to six babies at a time, things like that. So Chazal say even 600,000. 600,000 babies at once. So Chazal said that was Yecheved. The Mefarshim that meant Yecheved. So Yecheved gave birth to Moshe. Moshe is 600,000. Means Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu Shokel Keneged 600,000 Jews. Means that's who Moshe Rabbeinu is. So there's this very, so the dynamic of this Nekuda Hapnimis is a very subtle one. It's a very strange one. It's almost paradoxical. On the one hand, it's who you are. It's the deepest point of who you are. But paradoxically, that deepest point of who you are is super aware and sensitive and deeply attached to everyone else at the same time, without it interfering with your personal attachment. That's this strange dynamic of the Sharan of the Sharanun. It's like the person making a neder knows. It's like coming from a deep awareness of what the Rabbanu Shel Olam, like what this person's personal neshama needs, but I'm also fully aware that this is not needed by other people. So it's like a very, very subtle nekuda, but that's what makes the Sharanun so confusing, right? Because it's like it's your yichida, but at the same time, the nature of yichida is that it's universal. How could it?
Yeah.
It's zelumazeh. It's certainly that. That's why the Mishnah says that the chacham could be oiker than neder. But it's certainly a corruption of that nekuda. But everything has a counterpart. So it's the anti yichidish of a nefesh. But that's where it's coming from. So let's go back to the very beginning. We started off that the inyan of the shvatim and the chiras Yosef starts with that pasuk. Of they hated him, they couldn't speak anything positive to him. And that, even though it's the beginning of all the problems, but zooming out, it's the beginning of all the tikkun. It's the beginning of Gula Shleim. It's the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the beginning of the ultimate redemption, which is through Moshe Rabbeinu, and the ultimate revelation that every single yid is worthy of redemption. Because, and we said, what's the spark of this pasuk? The answer is they were fulfilling, whether they were realized it at the time, they were fulfilling Lissis and Sechicha B'Vavecha. Because they hated Yosef, but at least they didn't keep it inside. So, Lissis and Sechicha B'Vavecha contains within it the spark of Gula Shleim. How so? Because that's what we're saying. When you get to the Sogi, Lissis and Sechicha B'Vavecha is a mitzvah that identifies the Nekuda Pnimis of a Yid, that Nekuda Pnimis is both deeply personal and deeply universal at the same time. It's the nekuda that naturally is identifies itself with all of the yidden, and paradoxically, it's also the part of you that has a personal relationship with the Rabbanu Shel Olam that only you know and no one else does. And again, the way to make heads or tails of that is like that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, who is someone that, you know, that is the embodiment of all of 600,000 Jews. He's literally everybody, but he's also someone that wears a veil on his face and no one knows. And so that's the Nekuda. This is why it's, you know, the Rabbanu Shem always makes it work like this. It's the beginning of the rift between the Shvatim, which is this pasuk, right? Is really contains within it the healing of the Shvatim, right? Because, see, again, when you isolate the story, so that's terrible. The Shvatim are broken apart. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. Yehuda is like, it's mamash terrible. And then only Vayigesh, they come back together. But the truth is, it's always like this. Looking back, there was productivity in this. Why? Because Yosef was isolated to become Yosef. Yehuda was isolated to become Yehuda, and now that Yosef is Yosef, and Yehuda is Yehuda, Vigash of Yehuda, now you can have two malachim, two kings coming together. Whereas if they were always going to cheder together in high school and base medrash and working, and you know, they just, everything Siamese twins, you know. So then Yosef wouldn't be Yosef, Yehuda wouldn't be Yehuda. So you have now Yosef is Yosef, Yehuda is Yehuda, because they were separate from each other. And now when they come together, it's two malachim, it's two kings, both in full full strength, being united together. That is only possible because of this nekuda of yichidus shel nefesh, this nekuda of pnimius of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only soul mechanism that's able to unite two opposites without downgrading and without diluting the two opposites. That's the secret. Usually when you have achdus, right? When you have you need to bring two people together, so it's like you be less you be a little bit less you, and that'll make it work. But for you to be 100% you, and you 100% you, and still being together, that's not so possible. The only way to do that is if you're bringing to the table someone that's deeper and bigger than both of them. So who's bigger than Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the only way. So the ultimate goal, the ultimate shleimus, the ultimate geula, the Mashiach is Mashiach ben David together. How do you have that together? The only way to do that together is if there's something brought over here that's bigger than both of them. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. And and this nekuda of Moshe Rabbeinu that's bigger than both of these opposites is because it's the yichida. It's that point of singularity in the neshama, which is fully whether it's if it's Yosef's yichida, so it's like fully Yosef. But I'm aware who Yehuda is, and I'm not downplaying or downgrading Yehuda. And if it's Yehuda, I'm fully Yehuda, but I also am cognizant and I'm aware who Yosef is, and I'm not trying to interfere with that. Because I understand that in order for Yosef to be Yosef, there has to be a Yehuda being a Yehuda. In order for Yehuda to be Yehuda, there has to be Yosef being a Yosef. But that mentality is coming from that nekuda of Yichidus shel nefesh, which is being revealed and being cultivated and being protected, you know, in the mitzvah of Leisisin Zechicha B'Vecha. And that's what the mitzvah is. Don't ruin that nekuda, because you don't have to acquire it. You have it by the nature of being a Yid. You have that nekuda. Protect it, give it voice, give it articulation in a healthy way, in a good way. And from there, you'll be able to be zaycha to unite all different aspects of yourself and aspects of other Yidden without having to dilute anything. And you'll be able to miyachid the two Mashiachs in a healthy way. That's why in the end of the Haftorah in the Parsha talks about Hashem tells the Navi as a sign of Lasalava that he should take one piece of wood, write on it Yosef, another piece of wood, write on it David, right, Yehuda, and take the two pieces of wood and put them together, and that'll be a sign that when Mashiach comes, all of Klai will be united. So the Beis Yaakov Vish would say, yes, the question, I understand. So take one piece of wood, write on it Yosef and David. You have the two pieces and then put them together. Just take one piece and write, isn't that more achdus? No, the answer is no. Because you want Yosef to be Yosef and you want Yehuda to be Yehuda. This Yid is, the nature of this Yid is like, this is Avodas Hashem, this Yid is another, and that's okay. And the achdus shouldn't be that he is a little bit less than what he's supposed to be, and he's a little bit less than he's supposed to be, and that's how they're coming together. No, the point of connection is not by diluting each one, it's rather by finding a deeper part within the self that's able to encompass both. That's the nekuda. And again, this is a major principle when it comes to Achdus Bechlal and Derech Avodas Hashem, is that the true way to bring Yidden or to bring aspects of Avodas Hashem together is not by it's like Sodom, you know, making everyone the same size. That's not the nekuda, but finding a deeper space within your own neshama that's able to encompass both. That's the ikar nekuda. Of like, you know, if you have there are some yidden that they're squares, there are some yidden that they're circles. So what's the goal? Make circles into squares and squares into circles? Impossible, and it's not what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants. The answer is find the nekuda within yourself that's not a shape, and find an aspect of these yidden that's not a shape. And then from that place that's bechlal not a shape, you'll be able to find a way to print together circles and squares. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. That Yosef is a certain way in Avodas Hashem. Yehuda is a certain path in Avodas Hashem. But the nekud of Moshe Rabbeinu is deeper than paths. It's deeper than particular ways of service of Hashem. It's godliness itself. It's the essence of Yiddishkeit. It's the essence of who a person is. It's bigger than those shapes, Bechlal. And from that place, you're able to bring the two together. No. simply by learning about it, we should be zechataka to reveal that and include it within ourselves, of Nisis and Sechicha B'Levecha, V'Azrachamoicha, all the mitzvahs in a good way. We should be zechataka to experience the yichud of the train Mashiach and through Nishras Moshe. B'Yisgal Tzalik Rachamim, Me'er V'Meinu, Amen. Shukaiach.